open your Bibles to Genesis. When I sent Joseph the verse to read, I didn't send him the whole passage. So if you're somebody that tries to figure out what the message is based on the passage of scripture reading, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, you're probably like, that's going to be rough this morning, okay? I forgot. That's my fault. I checked the text. It was supposed to be 1 to 13. And so, that's not the part we're actually going to look at. Let's look at verse number 1. We'll read through there. I'll read it for you. And then you'll see that that's just part of the story, okay? That's not where we're going this morning. Say, man, it's Labor Day. We didn't go out of town. We're here. We're serving the Lord. You're going to let us have it? No. The ones that are wicked and exceeding, they're out of town. Just kidding. All right, verse 1. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel and to the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Hus. And unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle, the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Pezerite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart into the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your scripture, and I just pray in this short time that we have this morning that you would speak to our heart in this story. In Jesus' name, amen. And on a Sunday in 1995, a woman and her two children were at a barbecue, and after they left, a friend of hers, a man, was giving them a ride home. As he was riding home, he made a wrong turn and ended up in a wrong part of town. As he was driving, he made another wrong turn as he was in the rough part of town, and he made a turn onto a dead end. This street that he made a dead end was notorious for gang members hanging out. He went down there, and he noticed where he was. There was many gang members hanging out there that day, and he realized that he was not in a good place. And he started to make a U-turn, and as he made a U-turn and was trying to leave, his car was attacked. They threw trash cans at the car and were attacking the car, and so he tried to speed away, and one of the gang members pulled out a gun and started shooting. And several of them in the car were shot, and one of the little three-year-old was shot and killed. And the police actually were pretty upset about that, and they did some more restrictions there. The point is, they were just an accident, and they ended up in a wrong place. It was a very dangerous and a very tragic situation. When I think about the story in front of us this morning, we are going to see Lot. And Lot ends up in a very, very, very bad place. He ends up in a place that's so wicked that we know the story, and that was the verse Joseph read, not the message today. They were so wicked and evil that God actually just went ahead and just destroyed that Sodom and Gomorrah, because they were just so morally bankrupt and wicked. And yet, Lot ended up in that city. Lot had been raised by Abraham. God had prospered Abraham, and as a result, because Lot was with him, Lot also became prosperous. Both of them, their prosperity grew. And because they grew, it started to cramp the land where they were living together. And as a result, it started some strife between them. And so Abraham did not want to have strife. And so he went and spoke to Lot. And his plan was, why don't we just separate? You take your men and your wealth and all of your group, and you go to a place, and we'll go somewhere different. Abraham being very, very gracious, he lets Lot choose where he goes, and Lot chooses what he thinks is the best place, what he looks at and says, this would be best for me. And as we know the story, he made his decision very, very, very poorly. Genesis chapter 14, we see as he's living in the land that they are actually taken captive by another king, and Abraham has to bail him out that time. But it gets worse. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, we know the beginning of this story. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot was in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. These are the same angels that came and talked to Abram. And Abraham told them, you know, Abraham found out what their mission was. They were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham tries to talk him out of it and says, if there's, you know, 50 righteous people, will you destroy the city? Will you spare the city? He says, yes. And he keeps going down. The angel, he gets down to 10, and he says, we will not destroy the city if there's 10 righteous people. Maybe Abraham, because Lot lived in the city, thought, you know, there's got to be at least 10. And so he let off, not realizing there weren't 10. And they go to the city, and now Lot meets them and finds out what's going on. And Lot and his family are delivered, not all of his family. He had family members he went to and said, hey, the angel's going to destroy the city. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. They thought he was joking. The verse we read that said he was in the gate of the city, that's where the elders of the city resided. That's where the city business was transacted. So it's an inference here that maybe Lot was even a city leader. But Lot had dwelt in Sodom, and it got to him. He pays the consequences. Although he gets out with his wife and two of his children, his wife looks back like she was told not to and became a pillar of salt. And then in a very, very evil, immoral situation, Lot's daughters, thinking that they are not going to be able to get married, they get their father drunk, and he has children with each of his daughters. It's pretty bad. The New Testament has a commentary on Lot during this time in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. 2 Peter says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live godly, and delivered just Lot. In other words, Lot, who was justified. He was a just man because he was one of God's children, believe it or not. But he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the Bible says. Vexed means tormented. In other words, although Lot was a leader, although Lot was amongst that evil, wicked city, and if you read the stories, you see all that God said about the city. He was still God's person, but seeing all that sin around him and hiding the fact that he was one of God's, it was a torture on his soul. Verse 8 of 2 Peter says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, not righteous in the sense of the way he was living, righteous in his position with God, being one of God's children, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. So although he was living there, he was tortured by everything that he saw. He lost some of his children, and the ones he had with him was a very bad situation. We would say that Lot ended up in a very bad place. Not just physically, but he ended up in a bad place spiritually. just like the story of the man making a wrong turn. That happens to a lot of people. They make bad decisions. Think of David and Bathsheba and that whole thing. What happened? Started with a bad decision, which led to another bad decision, which led to another bad decision, which led to another bad decision. How did he end up in such a bad place? Because there were things in his life he didn't deal with. There were some things that were happening before he ever made that decision. By the way, it's not the message this morning, but we make bad decisions and we make small bad decisions and they always end up to worse bad decisions. He didn't deal with these issues in his life, which caused him to make a bad decision to split with Abraham. And then so he decided he'll pitch towards Sodom. And the next thing you see, he's in Sodom and he's a leader in Sodom. It always goes farther and farther and farther. But he didn't deal with some things. And there are things that we may have to deal with in our life. What are some of these things that he didn't deal with correctly that caused the split and his bad decision, which led to a bad place? First of all, he didn't deal well with his possessions. Look at verse 6 of Genesis chapter 13. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. What was the problem that started the situation? Their stuff, their substance, their possessions. In other words, they grew so vast and so great that they started to cause a conflict. So instead of having a better perspective about it and maybe trying to channel it or take care of it better, it was allowed to fester. Not that he would ever get rid of it, but the possessions were causing problems. Isn't that what happens to us sometimes? See, the things that we own in life start to cause us issues. The things that we think we have to have to make us happy can sometimes be the start of our downfall. How many fights, how many relationships, how many situations of life have been ruined because of what the Bible calls the love of money? We get addicted to our stuff. Wonder how many people don't submit themselves to the will of God because they have a desire for stuff, for things. You know, maybe God's calling me, but you know, I would rather, you know, I'll serve God by giving. You don't serve God by giving. You serve God by serving. Giving helps. But listen, some people, that's more important. You know, I know I'm missing some church services, but I'm getting some overtime. And I'll give more. Eventually, you'll quit coming to church. You see, possessions just trip us up on so many ends. We hoard our things. You ever think about it? All over this place, you can't drive hardly anywhere without seeing a storage facility. You know what a storage facility is? It's a house for our stuff that we pay rent for. Stuff we're never going to use. You know what I like? I like a clean garage. One of the things about the house we live in now is, praise God, we have a two-car garage. And when stuff starts to get crowded in there, I'm a thrower awayer. Now, you know, I'll go in there and I'll start cleaning up. My wife's like, hey, don't throw that Christmas paper away. We could use that next year. I'm like, I'll pay $5 and buy new paper and throw it away today. I'm not going to save we got to save that. It's been saved for 3 years. I'm not going to collect stuff. But that just shows how it's important to us. I'm not going to put stuff in a storage facility unless I'm between houses or something so that I can pay rent and go visit my stuff every weekend. Stuff I'll never use. It's a conflict we have. Hey, don't let money and possessions and all of these things come between you and God. And it does. And it came between him and Abraham to the point where because of their stuff, they couldn't live together. Because of their wealth, their business, their all that, they couldn't live together. And so instead of working it out, they split. It didn't turn out very, very, very well. There was a man, I won't tell you the story, I've told it before, named Buddy Post. Many years ago, in a Pennsylvania lottery, he won a lot of money. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Immediately, his wife tried to have him killed. Then she divorced him. His brother tried to personally murder him to get his money. Several years later, they did a news story on him and found out that he was poor. He was just poor, living in the back of some guy's house in an old shed. Here's what the guy that owned the shed said about him. It's actually pretty profound if you think about it. He said, winning the lottery is like sprinkling Miracle-Gro on all of your character defects. That's good. I don't know if there's Bible in there, but that's good. You see, when we have the wrong kind of, what the Bible calls the love of money, all of those character defects in our life are multiplied. Because the fact of the matter is, we've never dealt with that issue. Secondly, he didn't deal with his conflicts. Verse 7, because of this, now there is strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Pezhelite dwelled in the land. So now there's conflict. Now there's a fight. Now, whereas before Lot was raised by Abraham and they had that, now there's an issue. There's something that needs to be taken care of, a conflict, and they never specifically dealt with that specific conflict. They didn't. It just festered to the point to where when it came, it was just like, nothing we can do about it. We need to split. You know, issues are meant to be dealt with. The majority of people suffer from conflict avoidance. Fact of the matter is, it's just a lack of being responsible. If a problem or a situation arises and there's some kind of conflict, no matter where it's at, deal with it. Don't let it just fester. Don't let it just grow. Deal with the issues in your life. What issues do you have? Is there anything? It could be with somebody else. It could be with something that you're just working on in your life, and you know it's an issue, and you know it's causing you trouble, and you just kind of push it off. Deal with it. Don't let it just sit there. You know what we are? We like to run from things. You know, we're a nation of runners. Now, I don't mean, we're out in the road with our track shoes on. Something comes that needs to be dealt with and we run away from it. We run away from responsibility. We have too many young people that just don't want to grow up. We run from problems. We run from pressure. Something seems hard to do, and instead of just facing it head on, because it has to be faced head on and it ought to be faced sooner than later, we run from it. We run from everything we have to do. What are you running from today? What is it in your life that you know has to be dealt with and you're not? It's going to come back to get you. I know this, when you run from something that needs to be fixed, it gets worse. It's like that, sometimes this happens, but not me. You get a street sweeper ticket, right? Do you know if you pay it right away, it's $50? You pay it online, it's $51.59. Say, how do you know? Been there. Okay. And if you don't pay it by the due date, I think it goes up to like $120. Anybody know? You guys don't pay. That's why, Leo, that's Mike, thanks for coming. Yeah. So what does that cost? $120 plus $159, $3.18, $123.83. Or something of that nature. And then if you don't pay it by the next date, it goes to what? Mike? A lot. Okay, good. A lot plus the service fee would be a super a lot. And then if you don't pay that, you know where it goes? I do know this, not by personal experience. It goes on your car registration. You can't register. You know what? Why not just pay for it when it's $51.59? Okay? Just deal with it. I got to say this. I told you when we were on vacation, every male driver, except for me, got a ticket. Ryan got one, but Ryan's was a warning. Jack got one, and then Josiah was in the back seat, and his seatbelt wasn't on correctly, so the police officer said, hey, I don't want you to feel left out. He got one. Stephen got one, and I thought, praise God, I didn't. Something came in the mail the other day. They have those photo things. And it says, you went through a red light. I'm like, man, I'm not paying this. They don't know I was driving. And I'm like, let me just, so I went online. And they have some really high definition cameras. And I'm like, maybe this was close. And I looked at it and I'm like, this wasn't close. And I remember that day. I think my wife and her sister wanted to go to a nail salon or something, so I was trying to see it. It's like, is it over there? And when I looked up, the light turned red. It's her fault. And I'm thinking, I checked online. I don't have to pay this thing. What are they going to do? So I looked online. I'm like, man, that's my responsibility. I was guilty. So I'm going to pay it. But we don't want to take care of our responsibilities. If they would have worked this out, maybe he wouldn't have had to split from Abraham. If he would have dealt, okay, our possessions, what can we do to fix these possessions? But he didn't. Next, he didn't deal with his relationships. Really, that's where everything was leading to. Verse 8. So the possessions are starting to cause an issue. Now there's conflict. They don't deal with it. He doesn't deal with it. And so it affects relationship in verse 8. By the way, Abraham was the spiritual one. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Lot wasn't willing to say anything. Lot wasn't willing to do anything. And Abraham, being the spiritual one, says, you know what? We're brethren. We got a relationship here. And I don't want that to happen. Now, that would have been a really good for Lot to say, how can we fix this out? But he didn't. And so the relationship goes stale now. And because the relationship goes stale, they have to split. And now he's going to be separated from Abraham, the one who raised him, the one whom God has blessed, the one who God has promised to bless. I know this, if I'm with the guy that God said I'm going to bless, I'm hanging with him. I'm going to stick with him. And if there's a problem, I'm going to work it out, but he didn't work it out. He let it go. And now he had to move. How often does that happen? We have relationships and we don't deal with the things that are causing the issue. And when it gets to that point, instead of just trying to fix the relationship, we've let it get to the point to where now we have to bail on the relationship, or we feel like we have to bail on the relationship. Now, let me say this. You're always going to have problems in life with people, and you're always got to fix them, because there are no perfect people. Remember, I heard a story about a man. He was preaching to an audience of 2,000. He was trying to make a point. And he said, there are no perfect people. He goes, is there anybody here in this audience? You're perfect. And he was just, that's rhetorical. And a guy raised his hand. He's like, sir, you know somebody who's perfect? And the guy goes, yeah, my wife's first husband. Okay. There are no perfect people. And because there are no perfect people, we got to be careful that we make sure our relationships stay strong and we don't let anything get in there. You know, it's funny how we say relationships are important, but we'll bail on them at the first chance that we get. Sometimes relationships, and by the way, say, what's the big deal about that? Because our relationships with others affect our relationship with God. The two go hand in hand. Next, he didn't deal properly with his decisions. Look at verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? This is Abraham talking to Lot. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. He's faced with a decision. He makes a bad one. You know, here's probably what he should have done. There's one of two things he should have done. The first thing he should have done is said, how can we fix this situation? How can we fix this? Or how can we fix it that we both fit, but I can stay as close to you as possible? With that being said, or he could have just said, okay, Abraham, you're wiser than me. You're really like my father. What should I do? But that's not how he made his decision. He looked and said, what do I want? Here's my opportunity. I can decide what is best for me. And he made the decision, and it was a bad decision. You see, decisions have consequences. And we make these decisions without any thought as to, I'll tell you how you can know you're making a bad decision. You ready? You're not willing to ask anybody about it. I'm going to make this life-altering decision for myself. I'm going to make this life-altering decision for my family. And you won't even, honey, what do you think about this? You know why we don't do that, Robert? Because we don't want someone changing our mind. You know, do you think that maybe when we make decisions, and I'm including myself, that maybe we're not seeing something? You think maybe something could be pointed out? Have you thought about this? But we don't want that. Because we have a tendency to make decisions based on what we feel is best for us. How do you make your decisions? Well, you know, I just feel like... Don't trust your feelings. I've always wanted to do... Well, that's great. But is that something God wants you to do? You know, I've heard people, no one tells me what to do. Here's the worst. They make some horrible decisions. It's like, why'd you do that? And here we go. I had to do something. No, you didn't. It's better to do nothing than do the wrong thing. When you're facing decisions, please don't just jump. Don't just jump. Give it some thought. He didn't deal with his covetousness. Verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan. Now, here's how he made his decision. That it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of God. Hey, how about a little research? That was a horribly wicked place. And it wasn't like it was, it was heaven and then 10 years later it was bad. It was already there. But it looked prosperous. It looked like it'd be good for me. You never make your decisions based on outward qualities that we think would be best for us. You know, that was the curse of Adam and Eve. They were cursed after they chose by their sight to live life, making their decisions, or tempted to make their decisions based only on their own perceptions. Man, here's how you get outside of that. There's the perception right there. Not what I think. What does that say? Bad decisions. Then covetousness. We always want the thing we think is best for us, not realizing it may be the actual worst thing for us. There's a story of a man who had he laid a small circle of poison around a little anthill. thinking the ants are going to come and steal the poison, take it back into their little colony, and it'll wipe them out. Later on, he went back to check on them to see how they were doing. He noticed there was a break in the poison. What had happened, some ants from another colony had come, saw it, and they decided they would take it for their colony. Not realizing they were taking poison and they were taking it back to their colony and killing them. That's what we do. We think that we're getting these things that are going to help us, and we'll go do anything we can to get them because this is the best thing, not realizing that might be the thing that ruins your life. Be very careful. He didn't deal with his distance. I'll hasten here. Verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. You know, now there was this distance. Now he's on his own. And I understand we go on our own, but now he's completely away from Abram. Abraham has no influence on his life. He's completely down the road, and now problems are coming. The worst thing we can do in our life is to separate ourselves from that which would help us to stay spiritual and do the right thing. But people say, you know, I'm just going through a tough, hey, I missed you the last few weeks in church. Why aren't you here? You know, I'm just going through a tough time right now. I want to get through this and then I'll come back to church. That's like saying, you know, I'm terribly sick and all that. And I just want to stay away from the doctor until I get better. That makes no sense. You know, I'm not going to read my Bible until I have a right attitude. Well, man, that's what's going to give you a right attitude. We distance ourselves. You know, and that's a very, very big problem. And then lastly, he didn't deal with his convictions. Verse 12, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. I think that's the place God wanted him anyhow. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And he ended up there. I think Brother Pichardo preached on that while I was on vacation. But the men of Sodom were, this verse 13, right after verse 12. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners. He picks this land and God's like, hello, these guys are wicked sinners before the Lord. It's almost like, why are you choosing that? He had no conviction. He didn't deal with the fact that, you know what? The fact of the matter is, as Christians, there's just some things we need to just flat out jump up and say, that's wrong. I'm not going to be a part of it. And he should have said, you know, the water looks good and the land looks good, but that's bad. How's that going to affect my family? By the way, it's very tragic, and I don't want to get off here because we're already done, but it's very tragic how so many people make decisions and they don't even take their family into consideration when they make those decisions. How selfish it is for a parent to make a decision based on what's right for them at the expense of their family. Well, I've got to take care of me. Listen, if you have children, you got to take care of them. That's called responsibility. Thank you. It's not going to stay up. Down. So deal with your convictions. Be very careful. What's the problem? The problem is Lot didn't have to end up there. Lot ended up in a very dark place. Lot ended up in a very bad place. And he lost some of his children. He lost his wife. And the two that came out with him, something very bad happened between him and them. It didn't have to be that way. If he would have just dealt with these issues before it all came to roost, he'd have been okay. Now, what's the point? What in your life do you need to deal with? You know. I know sometimes here's what Satan uses. Like, I'm already facing the consequences of some of these things that I've done wrong or some of these areas I've not dealt with. Here's the thing. If you'll deal with it now, you won't suffer any further consequences. And you can repair to the best of your ability with God's help some of the things that have happened. But don't stay where you're at just because you have struggled. Things can get better. Let's all stand together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.